T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Gio, you're a guy that had seen football 25 years ago and today and cover it very closely. Do you like the game? Roger Goodell yesterday said no better time to be an NFL fan. Did you agree? Do you think this is the best product that we've had?
I like the game now. Yeah, you know, I like it sort of being, I like both styles, you know, the defensive style, but also the wide open style. And I just think, you know, the measures that they've taken, not all of them, but many of them have just been necessary when you see kind of a declining rates of youth football and that kind of thing, and what some players are dealing with after their careers. I mean, they really had no choice but to implement some of these rules, and, you know, it's led to a wider open game. But, yeah, some of those games like Patriots, Chiefs last weekend and some others we've had here in primetime, I think have been pretty fun to watch.
What's your thoughts on the quarterback play in today's game? It seems like, real quick for me, it seems like the NFL has embraced the athletic part of the quarterback position, and they've sort of started to incorporate it into philosophies and offensive systems, much like college teams have adapted to. What's your thoughts on just how the quarterback position has evolved in today's game?
Yeah, I think it probably goes back to high school and the 7-on-7 camps, and then they get to college, and there's a lot of spread everywhere, and then those ideas have kind of infiltrated into the NFL. And yeah, you do see a lot of really athletic quarterbacks, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton they're facing this week, Russell Wilson. I mean, run down the list of like the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks in the NFL, and a lot of them are guys who can hurt you with their legs, whether it's designed runs or extending plays. So yeah, there's no doubt about that's been a big factor. But I find those guys that I just mentioned to be really the most fun guys in the NFL to watch, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think many people that watched that the Patriots Chiefs game came away being like, "Man, there's too much offense in this league. I need more defense." I mean, that was a great game.
Yeah.
So the NFL certainly feeling pretty good about themselves right now. Gio, as an Eagles fan, should I be feeling pretty good about myself heading into Week 7 against Carolina? Let's start with the injuries. Carson Wentz on the injured report, limited participation with a back injury. What do you know about this?
Yeah, I think he's fine. You know, I was just out there earlier. We didn't get to watch all of practice, but we certainly watched the beginning of it. He had the red jersey on. He was throwing. He looked fine. Everything I understood yesterday when that injury report came out was that it was not major, and it might have been some back spasms or something like that the previous week. If you remember, they just gave him a rest day. So from what I understand, nothing serious there, and he'll be ready to go Sunday.
What about Sproulsy?
You know, we'll see with Sproles. It seems like every week they say he's day-to-day or week-to-week. It obviously has been a pretty serious hamstring injury, so there are no indications that he's ready to go and will play, but they'll have the practice report later today if there's a change. But right now I wouldn't expect him to be ready quite yet.
I'm interested on that defensive side of the ball in the secondary. No Sidney Jones, and I'm just wondering how this thing is going to shape up. I know last week they didn't necessarily get hurt in the passing game, but looking at some film, Shill, I can tell you with Rasul out there playing safety, when they went to their nickel packages, you know, he struggled in that run game a little bit, and a couple of those long runs could have been avoided had he sort of filled in the right and the proper gap. So how do you think Jim Schwartz sort of divvies up playing time amongst that secondary, and who fits where?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I remember the one where Saquon Barkley bounced it out to the right side is the one I'm remembering, where mm-hmm. Rasul Douglas came down and seemed to be at fault there. But they don't have a lot of options. It is really the truth of it right now. When you look at who's going to play nickel, really the only guy they feel comfortable with on the roster behind Sidney Jones is Avante Maddox. So what I think is going to happen is that Maddox is going to start the game at free safety and then swing down and play nickel when they go to their sub packages, pretty much what they did last week. And I'm curious to see what they do back there at free safety when they are in nickel. Is it Rasul Douglas Once again, do they bring one of these younger guys, maybe Trey Sullivan, who's not even on our radar, and say, hey, you know, you're going to play the deep middle. Just get your butt back there. Don't give up any explosive plays. You don't need to be a hero and break on the ball and create turnovers. Just let's not give up those explosive plays. So, again, they don't have a lot of options right now, but that's what I would expect is Maddox starts there. They just seem to love him. Every coach has been raving about him all week long. But when they are in nickel and those sub packages, that's where it gets tricky for them.
Shiel Kapati of The Athletic, between Shiel and Bo Wolf, doing a great job covering the Eagles on The Athletic. Shiel, Jason Peters, and it, from my eyes at least, he's really been struggling, and this is before the injury that happened last week, but he got bull rushed by a 270-pound defensive end, but the play before, he went right inside on him, he committed a holding penalty. So I could see that with various injuries, he's just not 100%, and he doesn't look like he can handle the job of a left tackle. Now he tears a bicep. He's going to play this week? I mean, is this his decision? What's the ins and outs of what's going on here?
Yeah, I think that is a big part of it. I mean, we're just out there at practice, and you look at the guy, big brace on his right knee. Don't forget, in addition to the quad injury and the bicep injury, the guy's coming off a major knee injury from a year ago. So he's got a big brace on his knee. He's got a big brace on his arm, but he's out there practicing. And, you know, we asked Doug Peterson about this. In my eyes, I just think the best thing for the team would probably be sit Jason Peters a couple weeks. You got a bye coming up. Maybe you get him 2 or 3 weeks. Get him a little bit healthier. This is a guy you want on the field in December when the games really take on even greater significance, and hopefully during a playoff run. But right now, Doug Peterson said there's no need to do that, and I've got to think, knowing how much everybody in the organization loves and respects Jason Peters and the clout that he has, in my mind, it's got to be him saying, I'm good, I can play, and them saying, all right, you know, we'll kind of give you another shot. Now, maybe this week or the next week, he tries, he can't get through the game, and at that point, they say, listen, we've tried it. What's best for you, what's best for the team is to sit you down a few weeks and just kind of get you right so we can have you later in the season, but that hasn't happened yet.
Shiel, I don't like when everybody feels comfortable about an upcoming game, and it doesn't seem like we care a whole lot about discussing the Carolina Panthers and the Eagles possibly losing this game Sunday, winning this game. Good win last week. We all like to turn the page and think that now they're going to start looking like they looked last year, but give me a little something that could possibly trouble us Sunday when facing this Carolina Panther team, because we don't necessarily know whether to qualify them as a good team or a bad team. What do you see when you see these Panthers?
Yeah, I think there's two things that really stand out. One would be their defensive front against the Eagles' offensive line. The offensive line, I thought, for the most part, looked better last week, but they've got some guys up front. Kaywon Short, Mario Addison, Julius Peppers still comes in and plays defensive end and had a big sack last week. And, of course, the linebackers, Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. So I think those guys can certainly get after Carson Wentz and be pretty good against the run, even though the numbers haven't indicated that so far. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, they've got the most diverse run game in the NFL, where they're running all sorts of runs, designed runs with Cam Newton that the Eagles do not see on a week-to-week basis, that you really see more of on Saturdays when you're watching college football. So, like, preparation and game planning this week is totally different than it's been at any other point this season for the Eagles defense. And then you factor in what you mentioned earlier, where you could be playing sort of a backup free safety there and some of the issues they had with their run fits last week. I think those are some of the things that are probably concerns for the Eagles going into this game.
I
was going to say, I'm convinced even if a team hasn't shown itself to be a team that likes to test you vertically, when they face the Eagles, they just are. That's what Tennessee did. That they certainly went away from what they had done the previous three games. They realized the Eagles struggle covering the deep ball in that secondary, and they decided to throw the ball deep as much as possible. I would imagine Carolina is going to take its shots this week against this secondary.
Oh, yeah, I was giving out the stat all week that week about, the Titans can't get the ball downfield, and then I'm sitting there in the press box on that Sunday, and it bombs away with Marcus Mariota, and you're right. I think Cam Newton's completed like two passes all season that have traveled 20 yards or more from the line of scrimmage, but I'll tell you, one matchup that the Panthers probably like is going to be Devin Funchess against Ronald Darby. He's got a big height advantage. He can make contested catches. He made a couple really nice grabs last week. So I thought Darby played well against the Giants last week. But that'll be a matchup that I would think the Panthers would like to go after a little bit.
All right, Shiel, I'm one of the people likes talking about. I look at this game and be like, yeah, Carolina's a good team, but the Eagles are back after last week, I think. This is not a comfortable win, but I think they're winning by, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 points. What do you think?
I think it's going to be close. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. I think you get the good Cam Newton. He's really tough to deal with. So I think it's going to be similar to last year's game, actually, where it comes down to the final minutes. It's sort of evenly played. But Eagles at home, I agree with you. I think they got some stuff fixed last week. So I've got Eagles 27, Panthers 24.
Well, there you have. Not a cover, but a win nonetheless.
I like it.
There you go.
All right, Shiel. Talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
All right, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
There
he
is, Shiel Kapadia from The Athletic.
Yeah, you know, I don't like whenever we just assume it's going to be a W. I like to have a little bit of anxiety, a little bit.
And you know what I hate? I hate when you bring that up, you correctly bring it up, that doesn't seem like anybody's worried about it.
I like to have a little bit, but I do have a little bit of it. I do.
You do?
Yeah, because I think Cam Newton, if you get good Cam Newton, you could be in for a long day.
I've never liked him.
I mean, me either.
On so many different levels.
But he can hurt you.
They win games.
Yeah.
Year after year.
And they always have a solid team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, if he's great Cam Newton, then you get 15-1. They go to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? He's done that. He's shown he can do that. But inconsistent Cam Newton, you get a team that's competitive, but not necessarily a real contender.
Their MO is they play defense and they can run the ball and they're tough. They're always a tough team. Always a tough team. You're never going to go in there and push them around. But you're right. Cam's kind of the X factor between 10-6 and 15-1, 14-2.
Yeah. They're normally at least a 7 or 8 win team.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. But that, man, their wide receivers are.
No.
Bunches and.
Here's the thing I learned.
But.
See, I'm not completely sold where we've solved all the issues in the secondary. So I don't want.
Oh, you're going back to the Tennessee game, where
guys
I never heard of were running all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. Fair point.
And DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel have career days Sunday.
I better not see Curtis Samuel catching any balls anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.